Walling, Addie, Copenhagen, Denmark, July 21, 1886. Dear daughter Addie, I received your letter while in Christiania and was glad to hear from you. I hope that you will not sacrifice your health in order to do much work. I am glad that you are trying to become educated in proofreading, for I would be much pleased could you be qualified to prepare matter that I may have for publication. I shall have plenty of work to do. We have some plans that are not yet fully matured. Had it not been for the education you are now receiving, I would have had you come to Europe with brother and sister Ings. But I considered the matter carefully in regard to that which was best for your future good in connection with me and my work, and the importance of your having a thorough knowledge of preparing manuscript for the press. I hope that you will be imbued with the Spirit of the Lord, that you will catch the spirit of the testimonies that shall be written out. I do not want you to feel that you must do this, but I should be pleased could you do it. I am some troubled in regard to my work and my workers. Marion is not able to do much, although that which she does do is valuable. But she has to be guarded all the time, lest she will overdo. Eliza, they have thought of going to Australia. I have given my consent to this, and the next dependence is Mary K. W., but she will have to be released from much of this work and have a complete rest. I am very lame in regard to workers. So, my child, you may advance as fast as you can, surely and thoroughly. Learn how to form sentences and punctuation. I think you can do this. Since coming to Copenhagen, I have been enabled to walk twice a day, 1/2 mile and back again, passing over the road 4 times and speaking once twice a day. We are situated in the 4th story of a boarding house. Directly opposite our windows is the botanical garden. In this are trees, plants, and flowers of all description. There are several large nursery buildings in the enclosure. There is an artificial lake, a high eminence where many rocks are gathered and classified. In this garden are seats, and all may enter it that choose and explore all they please. W.C. White and I walk over the grounds nearly every day. Close by this garden is the hospital for invalids. We have had very pleasant weather since we came here. No clouds, no rain. On the street close by us is the barracks, and every day in the early morning, the soldiers march through the streets with knapsacks and guns. I think going to the parade grounds for drill. There are many things that make the place one of great attractiveness. There are so many public grounds for resort in the very heart of the city, beautifully arranged, with lakes, swans in them, and fitted up with great taste. The street we walk upon to go to the hall to meeting is 100 feet wide. On either side of the street next to the buildings are sidewalks paved with stone, then carriage roads on either side with block stone. Then on the right is a large, broad street for the cavalry, horseback riding, and then a broad street for foot passengers. This is grand and safe and convenient. But I look away from this to that city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. There the broad streets are paved with gold, and there entereth into it nothing that defileth. W.C. White. Elder Brorson and I went into the tower that composes part of a large church. This tower has a broad street within, paved with stone, and it winds round and round, ascending as it rises 9 stories high. We went to the very top and obtained an extensive view of the city and surrounding cities and inlands. I did not take great pleasure in looking down from such a height. It is said that Peter the Great and King Frederick with horse and carriage rode up to the top of this tower, and when at the top, he said to King Frederick, "Which of us has soldiers who, if the king told him, would throw himself from this tower. King Frederick answered he had no soldiers that would do this, but he was not afraid to sleep in the house of the poorest subjects in his kingdom. Noble man, noble answer. You cannot tell how I long for retirement. The noise of carriages on the stone pavements, the clatter of wooden shoes, the people coming and going constantly on foot, the baby carriages, the women, men, boys wheeling their handcarts, screeching out their merchantable goods, is so confusing. You scarcely know where you are. Surely all this will have an end. Jesus is coming. I long to hear the trumpet sound and the dead come forth from the graves. Well, Addie, I would be pleased to have you get your picture taken and write to May to do the same. I will settle the bills. I want to see the faces of my children once more. You may write to May to get this done at once and send to me. In regard to your father, I will say you must follow your own convictions of what is right. I do not consider he has any claims upon either you or May. You are my children, and all the expense of years has been upon me, which is not less than $3,000. And now my greatest desire is to see you both connected with the work of God, which has been the aim and purpose of my work for years in the past. I want God shall have your service, and nothing ought to come in to divert you from this work. I write you this much, thinking it may be a help to you in your decisions of duty, in being tested and proved on this point. I want you both to be earnest Christian workers in the cause of God. I love you both as my own children. Well, Addie, I must close this letter, for we shall have to leave in a short time. Write me often. I have a pair of gloves for you and May, which I will either send by letter or in a paper soon. Give my love to all friends, especially brother and sister Loughborough, and Mary and Dell. Mother.